And I do believe that God has something that He wants to say to you this morning, that He has a message for you. And that's why we come and we gather amongst fellow believers, because we wanna fellowship and hear what the Lord is saying to us and spend time in worship. And this morning, we are going to Jeremiah chapter 1, and the name of this message is When God Calls. Because God does call, and He calls every one of us, that He has a plan and a purpose for every person alive, that we are not born just for no reason, we are born for a reason. That God is giving us life, and He's sustaining us, and He's giving us everything we need, and in that, it's not just for no reason. And the short answer is that the purpose in life, where we find ultimate meaning, is in a life laid down in worship for the Lord. It is living for the Lord. That's where we find fulfillment. But how do we live for the Lord? And what are some of the things that God is saying to us as we reflect on that? So I want us to read almost all of Jeremiah chapter 1 this morning. So you can get ready. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. And it just seems fitting that we read almost all of the paragraph. Just, there we go. Awesome. And it's saying, the call of Jeremiah is what the title is saying. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Our Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord to put out His hand and to touch my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north disaster shall be loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. But you dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them, everything that I command you, do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Now, Jeremiah receives a call from the Lord, and there's three things that we can observe or reflect on in this call that Jeremiah is receiving from God. And I believe it's no different to the call we receive when God puts something in our hearts and says, I have this plan for your life. This is this thing that I'm putting on your heart. I have this dream for you. I have this thing that I want you to do for me. And maybe some of you might be a little bit better at that, but I want to reflect on Jeremiah and his situation, that there are three things or three times that Jeremiah gives an excuse to why he's not able to do and fulfill the call God has on his life. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel that God has called me, He has said something, He has placed something in me, but Lord. I don't know about you, but if you are married and you say something, whether it's in defense of yourself or it's something nice, and you put the word but at the end of that, you are breaking down everything you said. And then you actually say what you want to say because, yeah, but I've said all these things, but I see all these things, but that's just an excuse in this sense to say, maybe not me, God, maybe not me, but we will look at that. I want to go to verse 4 and says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, and Jeremiah is receiving a prophetic word, and he is going to embark on a prophetic ministry for the Lord that God is calling him to. But what is prophecy when we look at prophecy in the Bible? And there are two, there's a primary purpose for prophecy and there's a secondary purpose for prophecy. The primary is to rebuke sin, to call to repentance, to give a word of judgment, and that judgment brings hope for those who are being oppressed, and it offers protection. It is, and it unveils God's relation to His creation. It reveals how God is relating to His creation, and it gives affirmation of God's approved leader. If we look at when Paul and Barnabas was called to be set aside, when we look at when David was anointed, it was through the Holy Spirit a prophetic word came and said, that is the one that I'm choosing. And Jesus, when he was baptized, the voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son. The secondary function of it, it is a prediction of events that it lays foundation for the climax of God's work through Jesus, that it points to Jesus in what He is doing and what He has done. More clearly said, it is revealing future events to demonstrate God's sovereignty, to confirm His word, and to provide hope regarding His redemptive plan. And His redemptive plan from Genesis to Revelation is centered around the person of Jesus. And now Jeremiah is receiving this call to play a role in God's redemptive plan. And the first thing God is affirming, Jeremiah says, before, verse 5, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It is crazy to think that as Jonah is in V's womb, that God is so involved in that process. That we call it a miracle of life because it is life is busy being formed, and God already knows Jonah. Because God knows everything, He is all-knowing, which is sometimes a very frightening thought to think about it, but God already knows Jonah's life to the fullest extent. Jonah, my son, not Jonah the whale, who is about to be born soon. But anyway, it's just incredible to think that God already knows you to the fullest extent of you because He created you. There's nothing in your life that is a surprise to God because He's the one that formed you. And He said, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That even God is saying that in the womb, I've already appointed you for that thing. That God has a plan for your life and there's something He wants to do. And Jeremiah, maybe in his mind, because we will hear what he's going to say, is that this task, God, that you're calling me to is just way too big for me. And the interesting thing about Jeremiah is his father was a priest. And if your father is a priest, then you are most likely to also be a priest. And being a priest is maybe a lot easier than being a prophet for the nations. That to say that just a priest is doing offerings and sacrifices and doing temple service, but to be a prophet for the Lord, man, that's something so big. That's something so big. it is not a favorable position. Like, it's not something you jump to maybe and say, oh, I'm going to be a prophet for the Lord. Yes. Spiritually, yes. But physically, in the society, prophets were the one being killed and imprisoned because they were mouthpieces of God. But we will get there. We will get there. But God already promises his calling. He already affirms, it's okay, I called you. Everything, it's sorted out. But the humanness in us starts to come up. And that's the second excuse we can look at verse 6. And Jeremiah, God saying to him, I formed you, I know you, and I've appointed you. God knows you, and God has appointed you. And then Jeremiah goes, ah, Lord God. In hearing the voice of the Lord, I think the response is appropriate to say, ah, Lord God. And then he goes and he says, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. The God of the universe speaks to you, calls you, affirms you, and the response is, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a youth. And that's what we sometimes do, is we hear the Lord speak and then we question our abilities as if it is about us, as if it is up to us, when it's not about us, it's not up to us. It is so beautiful that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power to be one of my witnesses, that we do not do it out of our own power and our own strength. It is God's doing. We are just the vessel. When you made coffee this morning here at GBC, you grabbed this cup and it was just there. And you poured your coffee in it. Hopefully you had a good lid that didn't split open. And you drink your coffee out of that. It's not the cup that's significant. It is what is in the cup that's significant. We are just a body. We are just a vessel. We are not the significant. We are not what is significant about this whole thing being compiled here. It's the coffee inside that makes this cup good. No one will drink an empty cup. That would be, I mean, maybe if you're a movie extra. But life is not a movie and you're not an extra. God has called you to play a role and have a function. And Paul writes the same when he's writing to the 2 Corinthians. He's saying that, look guys, we are just a vessel. We are just a pot. It's not the pot that's anything great. It's what is inside that makes it great. But that is the excuse that Jeremiah is saying, but Lord, well, not but, it just says, behold, I do not know how to speak, as if God does not know that already, as if God does not already have a plan to fix what is wrong. I mean, just think about Moses when God called him and says, you are going to speak to Pharaoh and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says, yeah, but I can't speak. God says, well, use your brother. Interesting. That no matter what we can form against the call of God, God already has something in store. But sometimes we look at ourselves and not see God in the bigger picture. That if he's the one doing the calling, he will be the one doing the equipping. And we see that because after Jeremiah questions what God is saying to him, now God, maybe you've got it wrong about me. Lord, do you know what my high school academics was like? Do you know that I'm so and so and this and this? And do you know that I struggle? And the answer is yes, God knows already your situation. It's not new to him. But despite of that, God still calls. Despite of your circumstance, God is still saying something to you this morning that he wants you to hear, that moves you from where you are now to where God is leading you. And just hear what God is saying. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then this is the amazing thing, is that in this response, Jeremiah says, Lord, but I have all these shortcomings. And God says, yes, it's okay, you will go. And verse 9, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That sometimes we feel the Holy Spirit leading us to pray for someone or to speak to someone or to evangelize, and immediately we say, Lord, I do not know what to say. The thing is, God will give you what to say. You just need to go. And I think sometimes when we receive a word of encouragement or a prophetic word for someone, that we want to have everything figured out about this word that God is giving to someone else that we cannot really fully understand because it's not for us, it's for someone else. And then when you go, but Lord, what am I going to say? And I have found so many times that when God has urged me to prophesy to someone, that I don't really need to be all that focused on what I'm going to say, because before I need to speak, I need to be in front of that person. So if I don't know what to say, then I know, okay, what's lacking between where I am now and speaking to the person? Oh, I need to walk there. Then I walk to the person and I'm like, God has a word for you. Oh, what's the word? Yeah, let's pray. And then I trust God for the word, and he has never disappointed. Because God calls us to act. But our human minds want to reason and understand, which is perfectly normal and fine. But if that is blocking your obedience, then your reason is not helping you all that much, because reason needs to lead to action. And if you cannot reason, then think about, well, what action am I missing in this space of obeying God? Because we think so many times that, Lord, I will be faithful in my finances when I have plenty. Well, what you have now is sufficient. Use that. But it's not enough. Doesn't matter. Because it's about the obedience. About the obedience. And the same goes when you're on your way to evangelize to someone and you say, Lord, I don't know what to say. Good. Then you can rely on the Holy Spirit, and he will not disappoint, because it's he gives you what to say. He tells you what to say. So I mean, on the low key, no, that's not, people don't speak like that anymore. Anyway, there's no excuse for not going. Because God is the one that will give you the words you need. It is the Holy Spirit that will move you and give you the words to say. And the best thing in like praying for someone for healing, it is just like, there's no words I can form that will move or make the healing happen, because it's not up to me. It's not like prophecy where I can maybe say things I shouldn't say or say it wrong or whatever the case may be. Healing is fully on God. It just calls on our hand to be on the other person and to pray, Lord, you do what you want to do in this moment. Let your will be done. And it's fully up to God. And he does it. But then after that is that, so there's been two things. The first excuse is, the task is too demanding, Lord. You've called me to be a prophet for the nations. That is a big task. The second excuse is to say, Lord, my talents is inadequate. I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to say. And I am too young. And all of that, God just lovingly comes and says, I have called you. And I will be with you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And that's an interesting concept, because when do you need deliverance? In this sense, maybe let's think about being imprisoned. You don't need deliverance in the sense of being freed from jail if you're not in jail. I prefer that lifestyle of not needing to be freed from jail. That's me. But God is saying, I will deliver you. And Jeremiah in his life faced imprisonment. He faced death threats. He was not a popular person in Israel or in Judah. He was not a popular person. I would much rather would like God to say, no harm will come to you. But God is saying, I will deliver you when it comes. I will get you out of the trouble when the trouble comes, but trouble's going to come. And this is the third thing, is to say that the teaching is dangerous, because God is calling Jeremiah to go and speak a dangerous message, to say God is going to bring judgment against Israel. That's the message. It's most likely at the height of their lives, where they might have had security and influx of goodness. And here comes Jeremiah and says, well, irrespective of what you think, God is bringing judgment against you. And the Israelites had this mindset that because they are God's chosen, they are spared from the repercussions of their actions. But it is not so. Israel went into captivity. Judah followed because of they did not repent and they continued to worship false God. And here's where the message becomes dangerous, because the third excuse is, but God, it's a dangerous message. Verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north the disaster shall be loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdom of the north, that's Judah, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and all its walls around and against all the cities of Judah, and I will declare my judgment against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. God is calling Jeremiah to go and preach that message, that this is not a joyful message. This is not Jonah's message that he went to preach in Nineveh, to say repent and God will spare. Jeremiah is saying judgment is coming. It's not a message of joy. And Jeremiah, in his life, he will be misunderstood, he will be persecuted, he will be arrested and imprisoned. His life threatened, and the boiling pot facing away, it symbolizes Babylon that's coming. Disaster is coming through Babylon. And the reason for Israel's judgment is that they were idolatrous and rebellious against God. And they didn't want to hear the truth. Sometimes we were like that. We are searching and yearning for truth, but the moment someone speaks the truth to us, we feel offended and we say no. Just because it's not a nice message does not mean it's maybe true. Maybe God is saying to you, stop that thing. Maybe God is saying to you that thing that you're busy with is maybe not the best for you. Always wanting to hear the right thing. I mean, if everyone tells you you are always right, then maybe you're in the wrong room. I don't want to be in that room. I want to be in a room where I'm held accountable, where someone tells me you might be messing it up. I want to be in that room, because that's love, that's care. But Jesus taught the same message. He taught mercy and judgment. He taught punishment and grace. And he was crucified for that truth. But then comes the promise in verse 17 that says, but you, dress yourself for work, arise and say so to them, everything that I commanded you. Yes, it's a difficult message, but still I've called you to do and to go and to share this message. And do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people in the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord. That the Lord is with you in what he has called you, that we do not get to look at our circumstances, whether it's external or external, and say, God, maybe you've chosen the wrong guy. No, we don't get to do that. It is a response to know that God is with you, irrespective of the environment externally and the environment internally. That know this full well, that what is in you that is not glorifying God, the more you respond to the call of God, the more God will come and sort out that mess inside of you. So many times you hear people say that, yeah, but I'm not, you know, I'm still battling with this and that, so I cannot go on that outreach. God will sort you out on the outreach. Don't worry. He is God and he's fully in control. And if you allow him to come and work in your heart and come do things in your life, he will come and remove what is not glorifying him. Because he's God. And he loves you and he cares for you. He does not want you to destroy yourself. And yes, maybe there are some times and seasons where God will say to you, maybe just step back for a little while that I can sort you out. But that's generally when there's no excuse and just God wanting to put you aside to sort out what is there so that you can go back and be a blessing and give a testimony of what he has done in your life. And I'm hoping I'm making sense this morning, but know this, that God is wise and he knows you. He knows you by name and he knows your life. He knows your struggles, he knows your shortcomings. And despite of all of that, God is saying to you, I have called you. I will give you the words to say. I will sort out whatever needs to be sorted out. We call that sanctification. And sanctification, I have found, does not happen in passivity. Because if you are just in this space every day, you get comfortable with your surroundings and your own issues and your own struggles and the environment you are in, that there's nothing that challenges. But the moment you begin to walk and you start to do things and you say, Lord, help me through this, sanctification happens. Because it is a journey, not a destination. Like, imagine you go home and later tonight you feel like watching Lord of the Rings, but you get a special edition Lord of the Rings where they just don't do anything. Frodo sits with the ring for 3 hours. That's not going to be a good movie to watch. I want to watch the one where the journey is so excruciating that when you try to get other people to watch Lord of the Rings that do not get it, they say, oh, this is boring. Like, that's the point. It's like, it's this journey that they are on. And through this journey, you see all the transformation and everything happening in their lives. And Frodo become brave and Sam becomes righteous and all these beautiful character transformations that happen. It is so incredible. I don't want to watch the movie where they sit with the ring and just they. Gimli just destroys it. That's the end. No, that's not sufficient. Those who have not watched Lord of the Rings, I apologize. I'm sure one day you'll read or watch it and you'll understand. But the point is that there is discovering and being in a relationship with God that does not have a shortcut. You go through the journey. Because the journey produces spiritual transformation. Spiritual transformation. Tukat shared last week on spiritual growth. And then there's spiritual transformation that happens throughout the journey. And that sometimes we don't see and we don't realize it. But the more we say, Lord, I am so afraid to go to that person and give a word. Lord, I am so afraid to go and preach. I'm so afraid to go and do that thing. And God responds in that and say, I am with you. Matthew 28, at the end, you can put up the verse. Just leave verse 19 there. Sorry. Just go, yeah. No, sorry. Jeremiah 1:19. Sorry. Just give it up there. Look at the last words of what God is saying to Jeremiah before his ministry begins. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. That God is with you. And if you go to Matthew 28, from verse 18, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. That God is the God who has relation, and He is involved with you. He is not that guy that says, well, do this, good luck, see you in heaven. No, He is with you every single step of the way, but you need to take the next step. Like that psalm that David says, that your word is a lamp unto my feet. They did not have LED lighting technology. They had a light, maybe candle or some form of that. It did not illuminate a lot of space. You could see it from far, but you could not see far with it. You know what I'm saying? So you had to walk like this to see the next step. And that is spiritual formation. That is sanctification. That is building and having a relationship with the Lord. Imagine you have a relationship with your girlfriend or your wife or your husband, and you never go for coffee and speak about 1, 2, 3. That's, or you just never do anything. That relationship is not going to be all that great, because it calls us on an adventure to live for the Lord with purpose, knowing that God is determining my steps and I need to take the next step. I cannot stand in this step. I might be scared, or I might be afraid, or I might be faced with my own shortcomings and insecurities and stuff in my heart. But the more you move, the more God comes, and He does in our heart. And the thing is, God knows you. That's the beauty. He already knows your challenges. And in spite of that, Jesus came. He walked the earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and He died on the cross so that you can be reconciled back to God, because there is an ultimate reality, heaven, waiting for us. And we do not live with the opinions of others around us in mind, or a focus on my own shortcomings, because the moment I think about what I cannot do, I am no longer focused on what God can do. And when I'm focused on what I can do versus what God can do, it's not about God, it's about me. And I should not make it about me, it's about Him. And the moment we live with eternity in mind, knowing that there's a destination where I'll be in the presence of God forever, then the here and now, as one, Peter 5, 10 says, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace will affirm, establish, and strengthen you, because it is only but a short space. And if you measure the eternal glory versus the momentary affliction of getting over that fear of speaking to someone, it doesn't compare. May that encourage you this morning, that God is holding out His hand and saying, I am with you. I've called you, and I'm with you. Father, I thank you that we can be in your presence this morning, and I pray that your word will speak, that it will bring growth, that it will transform the lives of everyone who hears this message. I pray, Holy Spirit, may you in this moment come and do what you want to do. May you come and speak to that person. May you come and affirm. Whatever doubt there is, maybe it's like, Lord, I cannot speak. Lord, I don't know what to say. Lord, I don't even know how to pray. Lord, but what about my past? What about my own failures and shortcomings? And thank you, Jesus, that you died for that. That we can live for you in freedom and in victory. And I pray, Lord, may you come and affirm who needs affirmation this morning that you are with them. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.